Good morning, everyone. Today we find ourselves already in the third week of Advent. Believe it or not, one more Sunday we have, and that's the fourth Sunday, and then Christmas is that week. So time is flying by, and I hope that you have been encouraged, even just as Aaron has shared and prayed, Advent, we look forward to Christmas Day, celebrating the coming of Christ into the world, but we're also now continuing to have an Advent that we look forward to in the second coming of Jesus. And so as we wait for Jesus, as we live daily in this world, now what are we living for? What is the purpose that we have in life? And so I hope we've been encouraged to see that Jesus Christ truly is the Messiah, and that the Christmas season, that the Advent season, all that culminates with him. We know that through Christ, the world has and was changed. Through Jesus, we were given a great and eternal hope. Though humanity was lost in the darkness, he was the light of the world. Though spiritually hungry, he was the bread of life. We learned that he was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace that we follow, that rules over the kingdom that he brought into this world. The kingdom, the perfect kingdom that we also have to look forward to when he comes again. So hope of eternal life, forgiveness, salvation, peace in our relationship with him. What an awesome promise God gives, that no matter the circumstance, no matter the things that are going on around us, always through a relationship with Christ, inwardly we can have peace knowing that Jesus is with us and that he is for us. So this is the Advent season. Hope, peace, joy, love, all of it made possible, truly possible, the things that last, the eternal aspects of those things, through Christ alone. So today we're going to talk about this theme of joy, an everlasting joy that only God can give, that only Christ can give to us. It is a joy that is centered on who Christ is and the relationship that we have with him. And as we live our lives in relationship with Jesus daily, as we learn to abide in him and be in relationship with him, grow deeper in our walk of faith, then so too will this joy that he offers, we'll realize and see that in our lives it is actually abundantly available. And so our lives can be abundantly joyful as we live for him. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 11. There will be some other passages that we look at, but we're going to start with this verse, John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, all of us are here, and we are always, always, always looking for joy. We seek it. We want it. Those who know you have been given an everlasting joy. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been given an everlasting hope, peace, that will bring us through any circumstance or situation. Be with us, Lord. There are those of us here right now who are lacking in joy, and we find ourselves down. Though it is the Christmas season, though it is the Advent season, many of us are tired. There's a lot of things that we are going through, a lot of worries and anxieties and things that we feel we have to get done, a lot of responsibilities. And so as the burdens of this world often do, they pile up, God, and you see the hearts that are weary right now. You see the hearts that are lacking in joy right now, and you want to speak encouragement today. So, Lord, would you do that through your word? Would you do that through me? Would you open up every heart and mind? Would you give comfort and rest to weary souls? And would you encourage us, remind us of the joy that is abundantly available for those who know you? Help us to live abundantly joyful lives. Be with us. We pray as we go into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the thing that becomes clear as we go through the themes of the Advent is that all these themes are things that humanity, all of humanity, whether you are a believer of Jesus Christ or not, all people are in search of these things. Hope, peace, joy, and what we'll learn about love. And in a sense, they're all interconnected. They're all interwoven because what we're seeing, what we're learning, what we are professing is that all of these things, in a spectacular way, are made available to us through one person. And that's God Himself through Jesus Christ. You know, as I was preparing today's message, came to my memory, I remember seeing a video of an interviewer that would go around and he would ask this question, "Do you want to be rich?" Well, as expected, maybe even you already have answered it in your mind. Every single person that was asked pretty quickly said, "Yes." Some even laughed and even scoffed, like, who doesn't want to be rich? You know, what a dumb question, what a stupid question. But then there was a follow-up question, why do you want to be rich? Why do you want to be rich? And different people had different answers. To be able to pay for school, it's so expensive. To be able to not stress or worry about financial responsibilities, things I want to afford, things that I want to get. Others answer that they want to be able to provide for their family, to help those in need. So people had all these different answers about why they want to be rich, why they want to have a lot of money. And what it started boiling down to, what people started to see, is that it wasn't that they just wanted to have lots of money. There was something that they wanted that they believed that money could afford them. And what they really wanted was happiness. And what the world kind of teaches us is that if you have enough money, then you can get all the things that you want that will make you happy. A word that's oftentimes associated with joy is this word happy, happiness. Even more than association, these two words oftentimes are even used interchangeably. We equate the two words together. And so when I'm not happy, when I'm not getting the things that make me happy, then I'm certainly not joyful. But the reality of the joy that God offers to us, this abundant joy that He gives to us through Christ, is it the same thing? That God gives us joy for a time and then we lose joy and then we have joy again when things are going well and things are going the way that we hoped and expected and then it's gone again? Is that the kind of joy that God offers to us? Is our joy conditional on circumstances? Is our joy based on the current feeling of happiness or rather the lack of it? And so all of us want happiness, but the joy of the Lord is forever. So we're going to talk about that joy that is forever, that it's not dependent on circumstances or merely feelings. And what we see in this verse is an awesome thing, right? When Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." You see, Jesus actually wants us to be happy. He does. But more than happiness, He wants us to have an everlasting joy that you have actually even in the valleys of life, even in the greatest difficulties of life, the hardships of life, so the hills and the valleys, through all of life, He wants you to know that there is this joy that you can be full of as you walk through this life. He wants us to have joy in abundance, and this is what God offers to us, not fleeting feelings of happiness, but joy that lasts forever, and not only lasts, but overflows to those around us. And as we learn about Jesus, we start realizing, we start learning as we look at the Bible, how we can have this abundantly joyful life, this joy that only God can give to us. And for those of us who have been going to church for a long time and have heard the message of the gospel of Jesus, we know that the answer is that this abundant joy comes through Christ. But even for those of us who are Christians right now sitting in the pews, we profess and we have a genuine relationship with Jesus. How often do we find ourselves lacking in joy? And perhaps even at times, we look around in the world and we see other people enjoying success and riches and things that we equate with happiness. And we wonder to ourselves, oh man, maybe if I had what they had, I would be more happy. I would be more joyful. But we're going to talk about this joy that is greater than any feeling, this joy that lasts forever and ever. We're going to have 2 points. The first point is this, that the true joy, the everlasting joy, is the joy of Christ. Let's look at verse 11 again. Jesus speaking, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." So we're going to start with what Jesus says here. Notice that he says that my joy may be in you. He doesn't just say generally that you'll have joy in your life, generally that you'll have happiness. No, he says, my joy, this is what I give to you. This is what I hope for you. This is what I want for you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You see, there's a connection there. It's not the joy or happiness that the world offers, but it is a joy that Jesus Christ alone can offer because it is his joy. As we take a step back and look at a little bit more of the context of the passage, let's look at verses 9 through 11. So the two verses previous, verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." So you see, this is a very important thing. Sometimes as we seek joy, we just kind of think, well, how can I have more joy? But what Jesus connects here is that the true joy that he offers comes as an outworking of the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. You see, if you're not abiding in Christ, if you're not following his commandments, if you're not being in his word, guess what? You're not going to have his joy that he's offering to you. This is significant. It is always the relationship that we have with Christ that produces these great and awesome things. It's through us abiding in his love. You see, the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, it's through his death and resurrection. He took on our sins so that those who believe would be forgiven of those sins, so that the relationship with God would be reconciled, so that we would know him in an intimate way. But we don't leave it at a lovey-dovey kind of feelings of happiness type of relationship with Jesus. It says clearly, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. I want you to think about that for a moment. When we think about love, maybe we think about feelings and, oh, I love you, you love me, you're there for me all the time, and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, God, you love me. But here it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. There's a connection in a genuine relationship with Jesus that requires or produces obedience to God and his word, obedience to his commandments. So someone cannot say, I love Jesus, and then go about living life as the world. Someone cannot say, I love Jesus, and then go about living for the successes and riches and trying to get all the things that they think in this world will bring them happiness. No, abiding in Jesus Christ, you're keeping his commandments. In order to keep his commandments, you need to know his commandments. Where are the commandments? What are the commandments? It's his word. And so I want to ask you, have you been lacking joy in your life? Have you been feeling like you just don't have that joy maybe that you once had in your walk of faith, in your relationship with Jesus? And to what have you been looking to fulfill and to find that joy? I'm going to ask something here, and this is not as much a rebuke as it is just an honest question. Not only as your pastor, but as a brother in Christ, if you're lacking in joy, I have a question for you. Have you been in the Word of God these days? Have you been reading and diving into the commandments of God these days? I promise you, no, God promises us that there is a connection in abiding in Christ and obeying his commandments. And so you need to be in the Word of God daily. Amen? If you're lacking joy, that's a question I want to ask you. Have you been in his Word? Have you been feeding on his Word, being filled with the promises and the truth of God? Or have you been lacking joy and looking around in the world? Oh, well, what can I find to just, you know, just to spark some joy, to have happiness in my life? And God says, abide in me, abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Have you consciously been choosing obedience to Jesus in your life? Have you been conscious of the gospel daily? Have you been doing your best to obey his word? Or have you been making all the decisions, trying to gain things in this world that you believe that those things are the things that will make you happier, bring you joy? I want you to think about that. What have you been living for? How have you been? Have you been abiding in Christ? Now, I shared already about my visit to Chicago over Thanksgiving weekend, and I shared about this restaurant chain called Portillo's, but it came to my mind again, maybe because I was craving it or something. Again, just in case you missed it, it's this amazing sandwich called the Italian beef. And those who know me know that I really enjoy food. Now, let me show you a quick example of how fleeting the happiness that this world offers is. How fast the happiness of this world can come and go. So on Saturday evening, before I flew back here to Maryland, to the D.C. area, to preach on Sunday, I wanted to get Portillo's for one last time. And so my mom and I, you know, taking me to the airport, we even left a little early so that I could enjoy one last Chicago meal before I came back to D.C. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm getting hungry. I was just so happy. Like, truly. Like, I can say honestly, I was truly happy as I anticipated that beautiful sandwich dipped in that beef gravy with hot peppers. And I was excited. And, you know, I even thought to myself, hey, you know, I'm not in Chicago as often as I'd like. I might even get the chocolate cake shake. Did you guys hear that? Chocolate cake shake. They have a literal drink kind of mix where they put their world-famous chocolate cake with some ice cream, and they stir it up or mix it, however you make a milkshake, and it is amazing. It's so good, but also so bad for you probably, but so good. So I was so happy, even just in imagining that I'm going to have this final meal before I head back to D.C. And when we got there, it was crazy. It was like a circus. There were so many people. There was a line out, literally, like out the door, people waiting to get Portillo's. And so I thought, okay, maybe the drive-thru. Nope. Even the drive-through, the cars were lined like almost outside of the parking lot. So it was packed, probably because it was Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe other travelers had the same idea. They were seeking happiness in, you know, the holding of this beautiful sandwich and getting to eat that and drink a chocolate cake shake. So gone. Poof. Just like that, my happiness. Just like that. And we laugh about it, but that's a literal picture of the happiness that the world offers. You wake up and it's sunny outside. You're so happy to start the day. And then you jam your toe on your bed frame. And you're like, oh my gosh. Poof, happiness gone. You see how fleeting happiness, if you just equate it to an emotion or the circumstances of life, it can be? And I thought about it. I thought, well, what if I had gotten my Portillo's? What if I had actually gotten a chocolate cake shake and I had it and I was so happy and I was filled and it was so delicious? How long would that have lasted, that happiness? I go to the airport. Oh, man, when's the next time I'm going to be in Chicago? When's the next time I'm going to have Portillo's? When's the next? You see, it's just again and again. It's temporary. It's fleeting. And then that led me to this word in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. So you hear that? Became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Think about it. Better than any Portillo's sandwich, better than your favorite food, better than a Chicago-style deep-dish pizza, better than anything that you could imagine that could ever possibly bring you even a moment or an extended moment of happiness is the Word of God. It's His commandments. Amen? That's abiding. That means knowing Christ. You're going deeper in your understanding of Him, growing in your relationship with Him. So if you are lacking joy, I ask you again, are you being in His Word? Are you learning obedience to Christ in your life? He will give you His joy. Abide in Him. And this joy is to the full. Get into the Word of God. Eat it. True joy is the joy of Christ. And when we abide in Him, when we have His commandments on our hearts, when we live for His purposes and live to obey Him, not just obeying, in one sense, ourselves to try to seek happiness and joy however we can from the world, when we abide in Him and obey Him, that's when our joy can be made full. I thought about it again. We already learned in the very first theme of hope that for those who believe in Jesus, that we're called the children of God. That's our identity. But oftentimes, we forget that that's who we are. For those of us who are children of God, guess what? We have the joy everlasting. But sometimes we forget that we are those who have this everlasting joy, that we are children of God. And I thought about it. You know, have you guys heard the term hangry? Right, hangry, yeah. I think a lot of husbands are like, oh, we know about that. We got to get some food for our wives, right? Amen. That was the loudest amen I think I heard so far. But hangry, what does it do? Even the calmest, nicest, most gentle person, when they're hangry, when they're hungry, it turns to anger. You're no longer yourself. Why do I share that? We cannot be hangry children of God. Does that make sense? Maybe the reason that you lack joy and that you're not being yourself, who you truly are as a child of God, filled with the abundant joy of God, is because you're so hungry. The last time you ate of the Word of God on your own and spent time with Him was months ago, was years ago, and you come on Sundays and praise God, thank God that you're here so we can be fed the Word, but you need to be fed daily so you can be reminded of this abundant hope and joy and love that is coming through Christ and abiding in Him. Amen? Maybe you're hungry. Maybe your spirit is starved because you have not been growing in your relationship with Jesus. So stop looking around and wondering why you're lacking in joy. Get into the Word. He'll strengthen you. He'll offer you this joy. Now, I'm going to take a moment to pause here, because I know that there's some of us here who are hearing what I'm saying right now and saying, oh man, it's all my fault. And we're already starting down the line of, I've messed up again, I'm no good, I'm not a good Christian. And no, that's not what I'm trying to preach here or teach here. Go to the Lord. He will not condemn you. He will not reject you. He will not say, I have not seen you in a month. He'll say, I'm so glad you're here. This is the joy that I want you to have. I want you to have it in full. That's God's grace. That's the joy that he offers through himself. That's who he is. So not meant to put more burden on you. It's meant to free you. Bring it to Jesus. Abide in him. Amen? Lastly, this true joy is Jesus-centered perspective. True joy is Jesus-centered perspective. And I'm going to turn to a passage in Hebrews 12, 2. This is what it says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we look at this simple and final point, we see that being abundantly joyful, it's not just feelings. It's not just circumstances. We see, and we've seen Jesus say, I want you to have my joy. And then we see here that Jesus, we see the connection of the joy that he has, even when he has it upon the cross, is a perspective. It's what you're focusing your life on. In the midst of any circumstance, in the midst of any trial, in the midst of any situation, where is your focus? You see, God gives to us a joy, again, that is not based on feelings. It is an internal giving of God, a joy that remains with us because of what Christ did upon the cross in his death and resurrection. That once you are forgiven, once you are saved once and for all. That's what I believe the Bible makes very clear. If you ever genuinely give your life to Christ and begin a relationship with him, you are saved once and for all because you have entered into a covenant with him and he will never let go of your hand. You will never be outside of the hands of our loving God. What an awesome promise. And so out of that promise, what is this perspective that we ought to have that will give us abundant joy in our lives? You know, if we take the world's perspective, then our joy is dependent and conditional to our surroundings, to our circumstances, to how we feel, to what's going on in our lives, the ups and downs. The world's perspective, there's simply no way that anyone can have joy in the midst of tragedy, joy in the midst of terrible circumstances. According to the world's perspective, when we're going through valleys in life and the difficult times in life, when we're at our lowest in the most tragic and terrible of circumstances, we simply cannot have joy. But Jesus, in the worst of circumstances, when he went to the cross, he had joy. But let's look at this joy. Was Jesus Christ happy to go to the cross? He was not emotionally in a happy state, I can promise you right now. He was beaten. He was bloody. He had flesh ripped off of his back. He had a crown of thorns gashed over his head. He had nails that pierced his hands and feet. You see, physically, mentally, emotionally, in his humanity, in the circumstances of his life, at that time in his life, nothing could be said about his happiness. It would all point to despair, tragedy. One who was innocent being crucified, he was drained. But what does the word of God tell us? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. See, his perspective, you know, the point is, for us, we have a Christ-centered perspective, because as we look at Jesus, what is he looking at? He's looking at the glory that's set before him. You see, sometimes when we're in difficult situations in life, we think, well, if I have a joy that's everlasting, why do I feel so bad? Why am I so down? Why am I so hurt? Like, Jesus doesn't say, stop being hurt. Stop going through difficult emotions. Stop wrestling with the things that you're going through in life. That's not what he says. But as you go through those feelings, as you go through grief, perhaps battling with depression and all sorts of things in your life, he says, if you're a believer of Jesus, remember the joy that's set before you. Remember the joy that's set before you. He endured the cross. You guys see that? He wasn't like, oh, I'm so glad to be up here, and he's singing Kumbaya. No, he endured the cross. It was the worst thing that could happen to anyone. He not only took on physical pain, but the spiritual ramifications of the wrath of God being poured out on Jesus. There's nothing happy about it, but he still had joy. That joy was his perspective. So that even in the worst circumstance of life, he can endure. Why? Because the joy that's eternal. What he has to look forward to, the eternity that lies ahead. He didn't enjoy the cross. He didn't enjoy the pain. He didn't enjoy this separation from God the Father. But he had this perspective. And I want for us to have that too. You know, look at your life right now. What are the things that you are going through right now? The best way to be joyful in your life is not to continue to ask, why can't I be more joyful? Aren't I supposed to have everlasting joy? How can I be more joyful? You know, sometimes we have a habit of looking around when we're feeling down or going through hardship. I mentioned it before, but we start this comparing game often, don't we? And for all the ways that social media connects us together, I think the worst parts of social media is this very thing. Is that when we're down, we start looking for reasons to find happiness or look for people who seem happy in their lives. And if you go on Instagram or social media, there's just pictures upon pictures upon pictures of people putting out their happiest pictures, their happiest moments, the things that they're going through. The riches, the success, and all these different things. And we start comparing, we look on social media for hours, and it just seems like others are so happy, but I'm not. But we're looking in all the wrong places for joy. So stop asking, how can I be more joyful? Spend time with Jesus. Stop looking around. Look up. Look forward to what's ahead in Christ Jesus, what he has promised to us. Be reminded of the forgiveness and the eternal life that is yours. Remember all that he has brought you from, all of his faithfulness in your life. Have his joy fill you up as you read his word, as you abide in him, as you make the difficult decisions to obey him. Even when the world says, obey your own desires. Whatever gives you happiness and pleasure, whether it's fleeting or not, that's what you go for. Go and get it, go and get it. And God says, no, I have an everlasting joy for you. Abide in me. This I've told you, so that you may have my joy and have it in full. And so that whenever you're going through in life, and the hardships that will certainly come, you'll see, and you'll be able to know that you have his joy in you. Even in the midst of tears and sorrow, guess what? You can still have this joy that is his joy in you, and you can have it to the full. Keep going to him. Keep growing in him. abide in him. Live the abundantly joyful life that he has promised for his children. Let's pray together. Just take one moment. I hope that as the word of God is preached and you hear it, that you're encouraged. You know, like I was saying, there's times when even upon hearing the word of God, we're so stuck in our own perspective, if you will, or our own feeling about ourselves, that we talk about how we could have joy in Christ and abiding in him, and immediately our attention goes to the ways that I fall short. And we kind of stay there, some of us, for a long time. I don't have joy because it's on me. I'm not a good Christian. Yeah, you're right, Pastor. I haven't been in the Word. I haven't been doing these things. Okay, well, maybe that's true. You have responsibility in your walk of faith. But what will your response be? What will your response be? Will it be to stay in that place? To stay in that place of despair? Or will you look to the one who offers joy and joy in the fullest, overflowing, so that even in the midst of hard times, difficulty, tragedy, you can still have joy, his joy in your life? So yes, repent. Repent if you haven't been in the Word of God these days. But don't get stuck on your shortcomings. Look at the amazing grace of God that covers over it. See his comfort, his hope, peace that we've already talked about. And today, the joy that he gives to you. Abide in him and his love, and you will have the joy of Christ. So can you just take one moment? What are the things that you are wrestling with right now? And God is saying, abide in me. I'm with you. Trust me. I have you in my hands. For the joy set before him. Oh, what a joy that we have as children of God. So maybe it takes some enduring, but that joy is with you. Have that perspective and be in the Word. Take one more moment to pray and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, we admit to you that even as believers of Jesus Christ, too often we are the ones who are lacking in joy. The joy is there for us because you've given it to us, and the world cannot take it away from us. And yet too often we forget that. We forget who we are as children of God, the amazing hope and promises of God that we have in our lives. So remind us as we abide in you. Remind us, fill us with your joy. We're so tired of trying to fill our hearts and our lives with the joys and the fleeting happiness of this world. Fill us with your joy that is abundant, your joy that is everlasting, so that we can face anything that we may face. But we know that we face it together with you. We know what's set before us, glory, eternity with God in heaven. We thank you that that's our reality. May every person here have a life that is abundantly joyful because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you. Encourage us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.